Inshallah, after the remaining sunan, a short program with regards to the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala will take place, and also the other topic that we will inshallah try to discuss is why are there differences when the Quran and the Sunnah is one? Why are there differences in Islam? So inshallah, brothers are requested to take out some time and sit. Inshallah, namaz ke baad Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi ki zindagi ke baare mein kuch tafsira hoga, aur is masale ke baare mein baat hogi ke ikhtilaf kyun rehta hai a'imma ke darmiyan. To buzurgon ke darmiyan ke khidmat mein guzarish ki jati hai ke thodi der ke liye shirkat farmaye. مصلیوں کا خیال رکھتے ہوئے آگے آگے آجاؤ. Bearing in mind those who are reading salah, make your way forward. Inshallah, very less time until the Isha salah, and inshallah the program won't be so long. We'll try to do it both in English and Urdu this time, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد. So yesterday we discussed that why is it very important to follow someone in matters of deen, and why we should try not to choose what we want to follow, because if we end up choosing what we want to follow, then it is very likely that we will lead ourselves to haram activities. And then we discussed that we should try to remain within the four imams and follow the teachings of the four imams. And we discussed the reasons why yesterday. For those who missed it, I think the program has been uploaded on the e-masjid live. So have a listen of it, and then inshallah your questions will be answered. Today the question arises that if the Quran and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were one, then why is there so many different opinions? Agar Quran ek hai, hamare paigambar sallallahu alaihi wasallam bhi ek, to ikhtilaf kyun hota hai phir? And why can't all the four imams just choose to be one? Why can't we all just unite under one banner? Why does there have to be four imams with four different teachings? Why do we have to enter the masjid and find people reading in different ways? Why is it like that there? Why can't we all just be reading the same? Hum kyun ek jaise namaz nahi padte hai? Hum kyun ek jaise khade nahi hote hai? Hum kyun ek jaise haath band nahi kar sakte hai? Hamare darmiyan ikhtilaf kyun rehta hai? Yani masail mein. So, aaj inshallah uska jawab diya jayega. So the main answer is that, and the most important thing to understand is that this is what Allah wanted. Allah wanted, and this was the decree and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they doesn't just remain one path leading towards me. مجھ تک پہنچنے کے لیے اللہ کی رضا مندی تک پہنچنے کے لیے ایک راستہ نہیں بلکہ مختلف راستے ہیں تاکہ ہمارے لیے آسان ہے. That if we want to reach Allah, if there's many paths to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would be easy. If there was only one path to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would have been make it or break it. You're either on the path or you're completely off. You're either going to Jannah or you're not going to Jannah. And that would be very difficult. And how do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this? Because when Allah subhanahu, the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm and knowledge is pre-eternal and eternal. Meaning Allah ta'ala ka ilm hamesha se hai aur hamesha se rahega. Yani whatever is in the past and the future, is it the same for Allah? Allah knows exactly what happens in the past and what is going to happen in the future. So in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes chose such a word that would have two meanings, or he knew would have had two meanings. But despite that, Allah ta'ala still chose that word to be in the Quran. Now, when you have two meanings, every person can take it in a different way. Every person can take it in a different way. For example, if I say that tomorrow, inshallah tomorrow, we leave tomorrow morning. Now, I ask Sajjal by that, what, when we leaving tomorrow? So he'll say about after Fajr Salah, because Maulana said in the morning. I asked for him that what time we're leaving? He'll say about 9 o'clock. So I wasn't clear. I said tomorrow morning we'll leave. But I didn't say the time. So this vagueness has brought out a difference of opinion. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed such a word in the Quran that had vagueness. Now why did Allah ta'ala do that? It shows that Allah wanted two opinions. And what's the example? ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. The word is قُرُوء. قَافْ رَا وَاوْ and Hamza. قُرُوء. Who loves hai قُرُوء. Or is loves ke do maane hote hai. This word has two meanings. And it's talking about when a woman enters her menstruation, her impure period, then how long, or when she's going through talaq, etc., then what period, how long, what is the period of her talaq or of her menstruation, etc., or when will she be going through the divorce? So Quran says thalathata quru, three quru. Now what does quru mean? There's two opinions. One is impurity and one is purity. Exact opposite opinions. But Allah Ta'ala knew that the Arabs would have two meanings for this word. So the question is, why did Allah Ta'ala put such a vague word? It is exactly for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted two opinions. When there's two opinions, there's two paths. When there's two paths, then it is easier for the Muslims and for the Ummah to come afterwards to choose, or for the Imams to come afterwards to choose two different opinions based on the circumstances of different people. If there was only one rule, agar sirf ek hi qanun hota aur sab ko isi qanun par chalna lazimi tha, to sab ke liye mushkil bahut hota hai. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne kaha ke do raaste hai, aur Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne ulama ko inspire kar liya ke ye do raaste par jis shakhs aapke samne aaya to unko ye do raaste batlaye, ya unki halat ko dekh kar batlaye ke ye raasta aapke liye hai, taaki wo Allah tak pahunch sakte hai aasani se. Agar ek hi raasta aur wo mustafti yani wo sawal poochne wala us raaste par chal nahi sakta, to unke liye bahut mushkil hota. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created differences of opinion. And that's why the ulama say, اِخْتِلَافُ أُمَّتِي رَحْمَةٌ, that my ummah, whenever they differ in opinions, then this is a source of rahmah. This is a source of mercy for them. And a perfect example comes in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ek ghazwe se lot rahe te, was returning from one expedition. Aur Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya ke, آپ حضرات نماز مت پڑھنا جب آپ حضرات فلا جگہ پہنچ جائے. He said that do not read a certain salah until you reach such a place. Now go, چلے جاؤ. تو سب صحابہ نکلے. اور نکلتے, I think it was عصر salah. And the sun was setting. سورج غروب ہو رہا تھا.
تو بعض صحابہ کو بہت فکر, some صحابہ became very worried that the sun is setting and we still haven't read our Asr Salah. So our Asr Salah is going to become Qadha. So some صحابہ said that, what should we do? So then a difference of opinion happened in the صحابہ. صحابہ کی ایک جماعت نے کہا کہ نہیں, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا نماز مت پڑھنا جب تک آپ فلا جگہ پہنچ جائے, تو ہم فلا جگہ نہیں پہنچے, لہٰذا ہمارے لیے نماز پڑھنا ممنوع ہے. تو جب تک ہم پہنچ جائیں گے تو اسی وقت ہم عصر کی نماز پڑھیں گے. One group of صحابہ said that نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said very strictly and very clearly that do not read the Asr Salah until you reach such and such a place. So we're not going to read the Asr Salah. Even if the sun sets, we don't care. But we're not going to read the Asr Salah until we reach such a place. The other Sahaba said that no. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki murad ye nahi thi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sirf ye kehna chah rahe the ke abhi namaz mat parna, baad mein par lo. اور چونکہ سورج غروب ہو رہا ہے اور ہمارے عصر کی نماز خطرے میں ہے, لہٰذا ہمارے لیے ضروری ہے کہ ہم نماز ابھی پڑھ لے, یعنی راستے کے درمیان پڑھ لے. The second group of صحابہ said that no. That's not what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was just trying to say, don't read Salatul Asr right now. Read it later. Now because the sun is setting, and we're going to miss the Asr Salah, so it's better that we read the Asr Salah now instead of missing it. So both two opinions happened. Both Sahaba acted upon whatever they thought was right. And when both reached that place, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived. And both Sahaba came. Both groups of Sahaba came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dono jamaate aaye Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke baas. Aur poochne lagi ke, kaun sahi hai, kaun galat, who was right, who was wrong. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, You're both right. Dono sahi hai. Kyun? Kyunki ek ne aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki wahi baat mani jo aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne kaha. They said they did exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So how can they be wrong? They took the exact literal text and followed it. And the other group of sahaba, what did they do? They acted upon the Quran. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. That salah is fixed at its certain times. So they acted upon the Quranic ayat. So when they acted upon the Quran ayah, how can they be wrong? So they were both right. So how is this ikhtilaf rahmah? It's rahmah because both their salah was counted. None of them had to do tawbah and istighfar for missing salah. Now if there was only one path and only one group was right, then the other group had to do istighfar because they either missed the salah or they disobeyed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If agar sirf ek hi jamaat sahi hoti to phir dusri jamaat par tauba aur istighfar lazmi tha. Kyun? Kyunki ya to ek jamaat ne qaza ki namaz ki ya ek jamaat ne aqa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki nafarmani ki, to dono par tauba lazim thi. لیکن دو راستے نکالے تاکہ دونوں چل سکتے ہیں. This is one way it is rahmah. A second way that this disagreement is rahmah is because for those coming later on, those ulama who come later on, then they can look at a Quranic ayah and they don't need to take the literal meaning. They can extract points from an ayah and they can explain points from an ayah. And they can extract as many points as they want. And they can take as many points as they want. For example, the hadith where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited one sahabi whose parrot died. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Aba Umar, ma fa'ala al-nughair? That, O Abu Umar, what happened to your parrot? Did it die? He was cheering him up a bit. Now the sentence is very simple. Ke Abu Umair, aapke parinde ke saath kya hua? Bas yahi sentence hai. Agar Aqa sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbid people from extracting points from his sentence, then the ulama from this one sentence would not have extracted over 80 masail. But they did it. Why? Because they had permission. Why? They were allowed to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed that mere hadith se aap jitne jitne masail nikalna chah rahe the aur chahte hain aap nikal sakte hain. Basharte ke aap qualified hain. How much ever masail and masail you want to take out from my hadith, you are allowed to do it. Which story proves that? This story where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't read salah until you reach. Now one sahaba interpreted it. And one group of Sahaba took the literal meaning. So look, it shows that there is rahmah. That each person, each imam is allowed to interpret certain texts according to a certain diagram, according to a certain boundary, confined to a certain boundary. So this is why it is impossible for all the teachings to be just one teaching. That o sab a'imma ka ek hi baat par muttafiq hona, ye to namumkin hai. Kyun namumkin hai? Kyunki Allah ki chahat nahi thi ke is tarah ho, taake mukhtalif raaste nikal jaye, taake mukhtalif log usi raaste par chal sakte hai. Because some people will have a better affiliation with a certain school of thought, and some people will have a better affiliation with a certain school of thought. So to make it easy. So this is why it wasn't possible. And this is what happened in the time of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh ke dor mein khalifa ne unko kaha ke aap itne bade imam aur aapki nazar pure Quran par hai, pure hadith par hai, to aap ye kaam kar lo ke ye sari taleemat jama kar lo aur ek hi mazhab bana do, ek hi chalne, ek hi rasta bana do. Imam Malik was told that you've understood the Quran fully, you've understood the hadith fully, so let's get rid of all these differences of opinion and just make one opinion. And because I am the Khalifa, I will make a command throughout the whole kingdom that everyone must follow this school of thought. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, I will never do this. Even though I am capable of doing it, agarche main kar sakta hu, lekin main nahi karunga. Kyun? Main tangi nahi paida karna chahta hu kisi par. Because if there's only one issue, that halal, haram, your salah was broken, and you have to repeat your salah, then people will find it very hard to act upon deen. So now that there's differences of opinion, it makes it easier for people to follow whichever opinion they want to. So this is one reason why there's differences of opinion. Ek dusri wajah ye hai ke ikhtilaf kyu rehta hai a'imma ke darmiyan. Why is the differences of opinion between the imams? Because as I mentioned, certain imams had certain ways of looking at things. Everything comes from the Quran and Sunnah. But sometimes the Quran and Sunnah, it seems that it contradicts each other. That one hadith is saying this and another hadith is saying this. For example, the verse of the Quran is saying, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be very good to your parents. And another hadith, and the other Quranic verse is saying, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that men, husbands, are the custodians, and husbands are in charge of the women folk. Now if the woman asks that, who should I be obedient to? Should I be obedient to my parents, or should I be obedient to my husband? Now there's two verses that you must be obedient to your parents, or you must be obedient to your husband. Which one do I go? Both come from the Quran. So which one do I choose now? This is when you go to an imam, and the imam will come up with a system of how to reconcile two apparent contradicting verses. So this is another reason why ikhtilaf and differences of opinion took place. On the side note, the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa is that the husband comes first for the daughter, then the parents. But the parents still need to be respected, still need to be honored, but the final say lies with the husband. That's on a side note. But how do we reconcile between two verses? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that jab jab bhi ikhtilaf hota hai Quran mein, تو یا جب جب بھی اختلاف ہوتا ہے قرآن حدیث سب کچھ میں تو کیا کرنا ہے. امام ابو حنیفہ رحمت اللہ فرماتے ہیں کہ پہلے قرآن کو دیکھو, چونکہ یہ اللہ کا کلام ہے, اللہ کی کتاب ہے. پھر نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے احادیث کو دیکھو, اگر ان دونوں میں نہ ملے, یعنی جواب نہ ملے ان دونوں میں, تو دیکھو کہ صحابہ کیا فرما رہے ہیں. اگر کوئی مسئلہ ایسا ہے کہ قرآن میں قرآن خاموش, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی احادیث خاموش, صحابہ بھی خاموش, تو پھر اس وقت فاعتبروا یا اولی الالباب, پھر اپنے عقل اپنے رائے کے مطابق عمل کر لو. So this is Imam Abu Hanifa's system of working, that first look in the Quran. If it's not found in the Quran, the answer, look in the Hadith. If it's not found in the Hadith, look at the opinions of the Sahaba. If the Sahaba, there is no opinion of the Sahaba with regards to this issue, then based on these three, the Imam will come up with his own opinion. And the famous example is that of drugs. Drugs is haram. Why is it haram? Drugs was not at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Quran never say anything with regards to drugs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never say anything with regards to drugs. The Sahaba never say anything with regards to drugs. So is drugs halal or is it haram? So the Imam was asked. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi looked at the Quran and the Hadith, and he looked at drugs. And he realized that taking drugs leads to intoxication. Taking drugs leads to intoxication. Does the Quran and Hadith mention anything about intoxication? It doesn't mention anything about drugs, but does it mention anything about intoxication? So the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْزٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. That wine and other things are haram. Why is wine haram? Because it leads to intoxication. And drugs also leads to intoxication. So because both of them lead and result to the same thing, لہذا دونوں حرام ہیں. حالانکہ drugs کا لفظ ملنا قرآن میں کبھی نہیں ملے گا. Drugs کا لفظ کا ملنا بخاری شریف, مسلم شریف, ساری احادیث کی کتاب میں نہیں ملے گا, تب بھی حرام ہے. کیوں حرام ہے؟ چونکہ ان کا نتیجہ ایک ہی ہے کہ آدمی مدہوش ہو جاتا ہے drugs لینے کی وجہ سے. جس طرح آدمی مدہوش ہو جاتا ہے الکوہل شراب پینے کی وجہ سے, تو اس وجہ سے حرام. This is how Imam Abu Hanifa operated. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi operated in a different manner. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that I live in Medina, the place of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the place of the Prophet. So whatever is happening in Medina must be a carbon copy of exactly what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Because Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali passed away. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali was born in the year 95 Hijri. So approximately 80 years after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. So he thought to himself that my era and the era of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very close. So in 80 years, a drastic change couldn't have happened that everyone has left the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he used to do عَمَلُ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ, that جو مدینہ والوں کا عمل ہے یہی آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا عمل ہے. لہذا امام مالک رحمت اللہ علیہ کی رجحان یہی تھی کہ وہ جو بھی مدینہ والا عمل کرتے ہیں اور جو ان کا عمل ہے یہی آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا عمل ہے, اور جب یہ آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا عمل ہے تو یہ جنت کا ایک راستہ ہے. That was Imam Malik rahmatullahi's doctrine. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, he used to look at all the hadith, and whichever hadith was a sahih, the most authentic, he would take that and he would say that this is my opinion. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, what would he do? He would look at different ahadith and he would try to act upon all of them in one way. He would try to reconcile between all the ahadith. And after reconciling between all the hadith, he would take out an opinion. So everyone had different ways of working. And as a result of this different ways of working, differences of opinion occurred. But as I said, it is all rahmah. Now just to summarize, just to finish off this lesson, now we'll just briefly talk about the life of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh kaun the, unki zindagi kya thi, wahi wagaira wagaira uski baat. Naam, name girami, Nu'man ibn Thabit. Imam Abu Hanifa, his name was Nu'man ibn Thabit. His name was Nu'man, his father's name was Thabit. He was born in Kufa, Pedaish Kufa mein thi, Imam Abu Hanifa. Aur kis saal? 80 years after Hijri. In the 80th year of Hijri, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was born. His father, unke walid, tajir the. Wo khud bhi tajir the. Dono tajir the. Aur bohot kamyab tajir the. He was a very successful businessman, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Aur Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi ne tijarat ki. Jab tak وہ تقریباً 16 یا 18 سال پہنچ گئے. Until 18 years old, Imam Abu Hanifa رحمت اللہ علیہ just involved himself in business. Or he had ilm, the necessary ilm, but he wasn't regarded as an imam or a person who used to deliver lectures, or he wasn't renowned for being a scholar. Why? He was more renowned for being a businessman until 18 years old. Until one day he was walking to his shop. He was walking to the marketplace, and Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi was about to deliver his lecture. Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi apne dars dene shuru karne lage, aur Imam Abu Hanifa aur Nu'man ibn Thabit wahan se guzarte the. To Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi ne apne dars ko roka. He stopped his dars and he said, "Ya Nu'man," that, "Oh Nu'man, where are you going?" So he said, "I'm going to my shop. The business hours have started." My business has started, the shop is about to open, I need to attend to the shop. So he said that, when are you going to start occupying yourself with ilm? When are you going to start acquiring knowledge? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said that, I've seen lots of knowledge and my heart is not so inclined towards it. There's lots of debates, there's lots of differences of opinion, my heart is not inclined towards it. So Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah said that, it's a shame, because I see a lot of potential inside you. Ye kehkar farigh ho gaye aur apna dars shuru kar liya. Imam Shafi rahmatullah ne farmaya ke bahut afsos ki baat ke aap market ki taraf ja rahe hain, main aapke andar bahut salahiyat dekh raha hu. Ye kehkar khatam ho gaya aur apna dars shuru kar liya. Ye baat Imam sahab ke dil par bahut asar pa gayi ke ek buzurg ne mere andar koi salahiyat dekhi. This one pious person, a scholarly person, has seen some potential in me and I'm wasting my time. This had a lot of effect. From that day, he started attending the durus. Wo ilm seekhne lage. Aur itne ilm seekhne lage, itne ilm seekhne lage, yahan tak ke wo imam ban gaye. But how did it all start? So he was asked, Imam Sahib, Imam Abu Hanifa, that why did you choose fiqh? Fiqh means all masle masail, حلال حرام حلال حرام جائز ناجائز اس کو فقہ کہتے ہیں. تو ان کو پوچھا گیا کہ آپ نے فقہ کیوں اختیار کیا, آپ قاری کیوں نہیں بنے, آپ نے علم الکلام عقیدے کے بارے میں کیوں علم حاصل نہیں کیا. Why did you not go into عقیدہ, why did you not go into قرات, why did you not go into different sciences, why did you not go into حدیث. So he gave away, so his answer was that when I looked at all the knowledges and my heart inclined towards عقیدہ and having debates with wrong sects, because at the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, there were people who used to say wrong things. For example, they used to say that whoever does one sin, he will go straight to Jahannam. If you do one sin, you'll go straight to Jahannam. It was called the Mu'tazilas. They were very powerful at that time. And Imam Abu Hanifa enjoyed arguing and debating with them. So he preferred and he liked to go into this topic of debates and everything. So he goes, I started acquiring knowledge on this. Lekin maine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki zindagi mein dekha aur sahaba ki zindagi mein dekha aur maine ye nahi dekha, maine ye nahi paya unki zindagi mein ki wo bahut zyada jhagadte the, wo bahut zyada munazara karte the, wo bahut zyada ikhtilafi baat karte the. Halanke sahaba se zyada koi ilm wale nahi the, tab bhi maine یہ بہت نہیں پایا ان کی زندگی میں. تو I started to think that I didn't find so much debates in the Sahaba, so much fighting in the Sahaba, even though they were more knowledgeable than me. So this kind of put me off from Aqeedah. And I looked at fiqh and my heart inclined towards that. So I started acquiring lots of knowledge on fiqh. And how much knowledge did Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah acquire in fiqh? To understand how great his status was in fiqh, you have to understand the saying of other great people. And that's a very simple example. If somebody is a doctor, you have 4 or 5 doctors seated here. How would you know which doctor is the best? You won't ask me which doctor is the best, because this is not my field. So I won't be able to say which doctor is the best. I probably just say that the doctor that gives you the appointment the first, he's probably the best. But that's not a true reason of why a doctor is the best. For you to find out which doctor is the best, kaun se doctor sabse zyada acche, dusre doctoron ko puchna hai. Ke aapke field mein sabse zyada mahir doctor kaun hai. For you to find out who's the best doctor, you have to ask other doctors that who's the best. Then you will truly find out who's the best doctor. So in a similar way, to find out in terms of Islami ta'aleem or Islami ilm ke baare mein sab se zyada janne wale kaun hai, sab se zyada bare allama kaun hai, to dusre ulama ko puchna hai. And then that's when you look at the sayings of the other imam. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi's statement is very, 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 very famous, that we are all dependents and we are all children to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi khud farmate hai ke hum sab chote bacche hai Imam Abu Hanifa ke samne. To ye unka maqam ke Imam Malik rahmatullahi ko pucha gaya ke aap Ibn Shubruma ke baare mein kya farmate hai, aap fula ke baare mein kya farmate hai, what do you say with regards to Ibn Shubruma, what do you say with regards to this person? So he said that they have a good sound knowledge. They have an average level of knowledge. Aur phir kaha gaya ke Nu'man ibn Thabit ke bare mein kya keh rahe hai? To muskurane lage aur kaha ke ye sutun to lakri se bani hui, lakri se bana hua hai. Lekin agar Imam Abu Hanifa dalail ke sath mujhe ye kahe ke ye sone se bana hua, to main majboor ho jaunga usko manne ke liye. Yani wo itna faqih hai, wo itna hoshyar hai, that if he's, that this sutun, this pillar is made out of wood, but if Imam Abu Hanifa had to prove to me that it is made out of gold, and he started bringing evidences to show that it's made out of gold, I would be compelled to say that no, it is made out of gold, even though my eyes are seeing that it is made out of wood. Just based on the amount of ilm that he will present to the table, I'll be compelled to agree with him. And Imam Zahabi, Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, have all said with regards to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that he was of great knowledge, and in fact he was a tabi'i. He met and he visited Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu many times. So when both of these great imams have said that, then it's something believed. But there is also the other opinion. Some have said that he's not a tabi'i, but Imam Ibn Kathir and Imam Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala both mentioned that he is a tabi'i. Tabi'i is someone who has seen the sahaba. So that's what makes, and obviously based on the hadith, that who is the best generation? The generation of the sahaba. Who's the best generation after them? The tabi'in. Who's the best generation after them? The atba'u tabi'in. So basically Imam Abu Hanifa, being from the tabi'in, also grants him virtue. And the biggest and one of the best praises of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala is that of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah. Who is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak? When it comes to hadith and narrating hadith, then each narrator is criticized. Why are they criticized? Because if they are not criticized, every single hadith will be sahih. And there'll be no hadith that is not sahih. As a result, there'll be lots of confusion. So that's why each narrator is verified. A very thorough verification is taken place with regards to each narrator of hadith. And nearly every single narrator of hadith has some sort of negatives towards him, except one narrator of hadith, and that's Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Nobody could find anything negative to say about him. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak ke bare mein har ek alim ki raay yahi hai ke unki zindagi mein khubiyan hi khubiyan hai, koi kharabi nahi hai. To jab aisa shakhs kisi ki tareef kar le to uska koi wazan hoga. To Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak kya farmate hain Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi ke mutalliq, ke Imam Abu Hanifa is the practical and perfect example of ilm. If you want, agar koi puche ke ilm ka namuna kaun hai, ilm aur alim ka namuna kaun hai, to Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala farmate hai ke ilm ka namuna Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Agar aap ilm dekhna chahta hai, agar aap ilm dekhna chahte hai ek jism mein, to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi ke jism ko dekh kar aur aapne ilm ko dekha. If you want to see a physical stature of ilm, then look at Imam Abu Hanifa, you would have definitely seen ilm. So this is our Imam, this is the why we follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. By mentioning all these virtues, it is very important. I am not trying to say that the other Imams didn't mean anything. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was so great that it used to be said with regards to Imam Malik that أَيُفْتَى وَمَالِكٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Is it even permissible to give a fatwa when Imam Malik is still alive? Yani puri dunya mein ye baat aam thi ke kya fatwa dena jaiz hai jab tak Imam Malik maujood hai. Imam Malik ki maujoodgi mein kisi ko kya majal hai ke wo fatwa de. To Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi bahut bahut khoobiyon se bhare hue hai. Khud unki zindagi khud uski shahid hai ke unki zindagi mein bahut khoobiyan hai. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi had lots of merits with regards to him. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they call him Imam Ahli Sunnah. Ahli Sunnah wa Jama'ah ke Imam kaun hai? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh. To har Imam ke paas bahut khoobiyan hai, lekin chunke main aur hum Imam Abu Hanifa aur Hanafi fiqh ke bare mein baat kar rahe hain, to is wajah se Imam Abu Hanifa jo uska bani hai, who is the founder of Hanafi fiqh, it was necessary to share and shed some light on Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hum sab ko samajhne ki aur zyada se zyada amal karne ki taufeeq ata farmaye. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.